Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Billy Diaz, and today we're really undertaking an exhaustive and I think a highly critical mission. We're diving deep into the strategic imperative facing U.S. federal agencies right now.
And I'm Danny DeRosa. Our mission today is defined by its title, which is Why U.S. Federal Agencies Should Retain, Expand, and/or Adopt Archer to Meet Initiatives, Mandates, and Mission Requirements to Secure and Accelerate Speed to Mission. And, you know, we're not just reviewing a software vendor's offerings here. We're analyzing the strategic necessity of what's called integrated risk management, or IRM, for the entire federal ecosystem. And it's happening in, frankly, a high-stakes, rapidly escalating threat environment.
Exactly. And I think our core objective here is really twofold. First, to explain in, you know, granular, actionable detail why federal agencies must move toward retaining, expanding, and adopting a unified platform like Archer. And second, we are defining the precise, prioritized roadmap for the new federal account manager, the FAM, to ensure long-term valuable partnership growth. Because if the FAM focuses on the right agencies, the right pain points, and frankly, the right people, the entire federal landscape benefits.
The stakes just could not be higher. I mean, we're talking about a volatile and complex risk landscape. It's driven by sophisticated nation-state cyber espionage, massive supply chain fragility, and, you know, the existential challenges of global instability. This isn't just about ticking compliance boxes anymore. Not at all. Federal agencies are now really the primary custodians of national operational resilience.
That's the core shift, isn't it? That's what we need to establish right at the beginning. In this kind of environment, static reporting, you know, just saying we are compliant, is totally insufficient. It just doesn't cut it. Risk management tools must be dynamic, integrated, strategic assets that actively inform high-level administration policy.
And that brings us to the critical distinction of what we're even talking about when we say Archer. We are not discussing some generic software vendor. The source material is very clear on this. It defines Archer as a leading provider of integrated risk management IRM solutions. That word integrated, that is the fundamental difference. It's what elevates the conversation from, say, IT procurement to a strategic mission enabler.
So why is that distinction so paramount for federal procurement? Because agencies are just drowning in mandates to modernize their technology stacks, right? But if they modernize in silos, they haven't actually solved the underlying problem. They need systems that enable better strategic decision-making by connecting all these previously disconnected data points. And Archer is positioned as a pioneer that provides that necessary architectural shift, unifying governance, risk, and compliance, or GRC, into a single cohesive view.
Okay, so let's unpack that core argument. Let's look at the strategic imperative here. Why is the federal government required to move from this fragmented compliance model to a unified resilience model? And why is IRM the indispensable tool for that transition?
Absolutely. Let's start with the historical pain point, the crisis of siloed risk management that has just dominated the federal landscape for decades.
You're right. Historically, federal agencies have been structured around these functional silos, and their risk management, it just followed suit. I mean, think about the traditional roles, right? The chief information officer, the CIO, manages IT risk. He's focused on networks, servers, security vulnerabilities. Then you have the chief financial officer, the CFO, managing financial risks, budget compliance, audit readiness. And the COO, the chief operating officer, handles mission delivery and operational continuity.
And each of these key roles, they're buying separate software, they're hiring separate teams, and they're reporting up a completely separate chain of command. They're all using different terminologies, different risk tolerances, sometimes even just different versions of Excel.
Precisely. And the danger of this fragmentation is systemic. It's built into the system. Our source material is blunt about it. It says this system creates dangerous blind spots where risks can metastasize undetected. A classic example is a vendor issue. The procurement team might approve a vendor based on cost. The IT team might approve them based on a security questionnaire. But neither team connects that vendor's instability to the agency's ability to deliver a core public service. That risk is just, it's fragmented, and it's allowed to grow.
So Archer's solution here is really architectural then. The platform is designed to address the systemic vulnerability by enabling true integration. It moves beyond just, you know, listing risks to supporting analysis that's driven by both business and IT impacts. That correlation is the whole key.
Let's drill down on that concrete example you mentioned, the server supporting veterans benefits. Imagine a zero-day vulnerability is discovered in a specific piece of server hardware. The IT team, they flag it as a critical vulnerability score of, say, 9.8. But because they're just looking at the technical rating, the remediation timeline is based on their standard operating procedure, say 90 days.
But what if that server is mission critical? That changes everything.
It changes everything. If that server supports the system that processes monthly disability payments for veterans, the risk is not just technical. It's a catastrophic mission failure waiting to happen. So Archer provides the unified view that correlates the technical vulnerability, that 9.8 score, with the mission impact, which is delaying payments to 10 million people. It forces the leadership to prioritize that specific server for immediate emergency patching, moving way beyond the standard 90-day window.
And that unified visibility is what enables true strategic decision-making, because now senior leaders can see the technical risk, the operational dependency, and the public impact all on one platform. This is really the fundamental argument for retaining the current integrated capability and, you know, adopting it in new agencies. You move beyond just compliance ticking to true strategic alignment.
And this integrated capability ties directly into our second major strategic imperative, which is operational resilience and mission assurance.
This is such a crucial distinction for understanding the federal mindset, isn't it? Unlike the private sector, which is focused on quarterly profitability, the federal focus is entirely on continuity of government and continuous reliable service delivery to citizens. For agencies involved in national security or critical infrastructure protection or large-scale public welfare, disruptions aren't just costly. They are catastrophic for national stability and public faith.
And Archer's solution is perfectly aligned with this mandate for resilience. It directly supports federal requirements for enhancing continuity of operations, or CUE. For those who might be unfamiliar, CUE is basically the government's plan for how essential functions will continue or resume quickly during a wide range of emergencies, from a regional power outage to a pandemic.
So when a major event happens, agencies can't be fumbling around with paper binders. That's not a plan. They need a system that immediately maps mission dependencies and identifies which personnel, systems, and vendors are required for rapid recovery.
Exactly. Archer provides holistic threat management that manages risk from traditional operational risk to emerging issues. This ensures agencies can anticipate, withstand, and recover from all kinds of diverse shocks, whether it's a sophisticated, persistent cyber attack or, you know, the logistical nightmare of a global pandemic. The platform allows agencies to map dependencies, identify single points of failure in real time, and mobilize resources effectively based on up-to-the-minute data. This is really foundational to the modern defense posture.
And this functionality provides a really powerful argument for retention, doesn't it? Especially in those complex established accounts. By retaining Archer, agencies are leveraging the company's extensive, proven pedigree.
This really cannot be overstated for a government buyer. Federal procurement is inherently risk-averse. They look for stability and tested solutions. Archer has been in the risk management industry for 20 years and has proven its capability with more than 50% of the Fortune 500.
And what does that Fortune 500 track record actually mean to a risk-averse federal agency?
It minimizes procurement risk dramatically. I mean, the federal government is reluctant to build bespoke solutions for IRM because the underlying governance structures are similar across every large organization. So by using a platform that's proven in the world's largest, most complex corporate environments, which, you know, deal with market risks, global supply chains, demanding audits agencies are effectively outsourcing the structural integrity of their risk data. Okay. They rely on Archer to maintain the cutting-edge structural integrity and framework, which allows the agency to focus on applying that structure to their unique mission. It's the low-risk, high-stability choice for enterprise GRC.
It's a compelling argument. Why take the risk of developing a brand new, unproven system when 2 decades of experience are available right off the shelf? Now let's talk about the data itself. Section 2.3 highlights what is maybe the biggest internal modernization challenge: moving away from subjective risk assessments.
This is that traditional challenge we mentioned earlier, the federal reliance on subjective qualitative assessments. Think of those infamous red, yellow, green charts. They're popular because they're simple, but they lack any analytical rigor. Leadership looks at a red box and says, that's bad, but they don't know if bad means a $50,000 fine or a multi-billion dollar mission failure.
And this is where Archer really distinguishes itself, right? By providing that necessary dual analytical power supporting both qualitative and quantitative analysis. Let's break down why both are so essential, starting with the qualitative.
Sure. On the qualitative side, Archer provides structured workflows, consistent processes, and standardized taxonomies. This ensures policy enforcement is consistent across different bureaus and guarantees solid audit readiness. So when auditors from the Office of the Inspector General, the OIG, come calling, the agency can demonstrate that it followed a consistent, codified process for identifying and mitigating risks. It's not based on individual interpretations anymore.
Okay, so that provides the solid compliance foundation. But the real key driver for strategic adoption, the element that moves this whole conversation up to the secretary and OMB level, that has to be the quantitative capability. This is where Archer supports data-driven models and financial impact analysis.
This is the critical shift that so many federal agencies are systemically challenged to adopt. The government historically struggles to move from risk description to risk quantification. And if you can't quantify the risk, you can't justify the spending to fix it.
So how does Archer provide the hard data needed to justify these massive budget requests?
Okay, let's use a detailed fictional scenario. Let's say we have a major financial agency. They have a known critical vulnerability in their legacy tax processing system. If they rely on the old method, the CIO simply reports that fixing it is high priority, high risk red, and they ask for $100 million. But OMB Circular A123, which is the federal standard for management accountability and internal control, mandates that agencies establish and maintain an effective system of internal control. This includes enterprise risk management, or ERM.
So the high-level mandate requires data, not just colors.
Exactly. The agency using Archer implements its quantitative risk modeling. They analyze three things: frequency, how often could this vulnerability be exploited? Impact, if exploited, what is the cost of downtime, data breach cleanup, and mandatory reporting fines? And dependencies, which business functions like tax revenue collection rely on this system?
And the platform correlates all those data points.
It does. So instead of a red box, the CIO reports to OMB. This vulnerability has a 30% annualized probability of occurrence, and the resulting downtime would disrupt $5 billion in federal revenue collection over 72 hours, costing the taxpayer an estimated $500 million in remediation and lost productivity. The $100 million requested is a 5.1 return on investment for risk reduction.
Now that is the language of strategic decision making. You've just translated a technical risk into financial governance. That empowers senior leadership with holistic situational awareness and provides a defensible ROI for new spending.
Absolutely. Agencies that adopt Archer are equipping their leadership with the analytical rigor required to govern complex federal portfolios. They're moving them squarely into the realm of modern evidence-based management and satisfying those strict OMB and congressional oversight requirements.
This is a really powerful case for retention and adoption. Now, let's pivot our focus to the person who is actually responsible for making this vision a reality. The federal account manager, or FAM? I mean, this job is all about navigating political priorities and technical capabilities.
What's fascinating here is that the FAM strategy isn't just about sales. It's about strategically placing the right tools to solve the immediate and emerging pains of the agency. Their mandate is to retain and grow Archer's existing federal customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, they need ruthless prioritization of products and expansion opportunities.
Okay, let's define those priorities, starting with priority one, which I assume is securing the very foundation of the relationship.
Priority one has to be defending and expanding the deployment of the core integrated risk management IRM platform itself. This is the ultimate retention strategy. We've established that Archer's unique selling point is integration, bridging those business and IT impacts.
Why is focusing on the core platform superior to immediately trying to sell new shiny modules?
Because of stickiness. A point solution, you know, a software that does just one thing, like only managing vulnerabilities, is easily swapped out when a competitor offers a lower price. But an integrated platform that becomes the agency's system of record for all governance, holding the asset inventory, the risk register, the policy library, all the compliance evidence, that's fundamentally different.
It's like your personal banking software, right?
Yeah.
If you have years of transaction history and connections to all your other accounts, moving banks, even if the interest rate is slightly better elsewhere, it just involves massive switching costs and operational disruption.
Precisely. But on a federal scale where disruption equals mission failure, displacing such a central integrated system is incredibly costly and disruptive, and it provides massive insulation against competitive threats. The FAM's focus, therefore, has to be on ensuring agencies actively utilize the platform's integration features connecting modules to create a unified risk fabric to embed Archer irreversibly into daily operations.
Okay, so once that foundation is secure, the FAM has to pivot immediately to the massive growth frontier highlighted in our source material. Priority two, emerging issues, specifically environmental, social, and governance, ESG.
ESG is no longer some fringe corporate trend. It is now a massive federal mandate. It's fueled by new executive orders and high-level directives. We're talking about covering climate resilience, sustainability reporting, and workforce diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, or DEIA. This is a top-tier administrative priority.
And the growth opportunity is huge because there is a current gap. Agencies have been forced to comply with these new mandates really quickly, and most of them just lack mature integrated systems for tracking ESG data.
They are relying on those same siloed ad hoc spreadsheets we talked about earlier, which is just a recipe for inaccurate reporting and audit exposure. This is the perfect opening for the FAM. They can position Archer's ESG capabilities as the modern, structured solution to these new, highly visible mandates.
So this transforms Archer from potentially being perceived as just a security or financial GRC tool into a modern compliance engine for the administration's most politically sensitive and high-priority mandates.
Think of the specific use cases. You could be tracking the carbon footprint across the federal supply chain, monitoring compliance metrics related to DEIA mandates for federal hiring, or modeling climate risk exposure for critical infrastructure assets maintained by agencies like FEMA or the Department of Energy. The FAM is selling a mechanism to manage presidential priorities.
Moving beyond new mandates, Priority 3 involves traditional but strategic use cases for upsell and cross-sell within those existing integrated accounts.
The first strategic use case is enterprise risk management, ERM integration. We touched on OMB Circular A123 earlier, which sets the standard for internal controls. The FAM has to pitch using the business and IT impacts capability to link the highly granular technical IT risk data, all the cyber vulnerabilities, with the overall enterprise risk registers required by the agency head.
Get the target persona shifts here, right? You're moving beyond the CISO and CIO to target the chief risk officer or CRO, and maybe even the performance improvement officers who are responsible for that high-level A123 reporting.
Precisely. They need a system that can roll up all the technical details into a coherent, defensible picture of agency-wide risk exposure. The second critical area is third-party and supply chain risk management. Given the federal government's massive reliance on contractors and external systems, managing external vendor risk is a continuous top-of-mind pain point for all complex federal accounts.
Especially with the focus on zero-trust architecture and supply chain integrity, the scrutiny on vendors has never been higher.
The pitch here leverages Archer's ability to perform quantitative analysis to score vendor risk. So instead of just accepting a vendor's self-attestation that they are secure, the platform provides a defensible, data-driven assessment, often incorporating data feeds to create a comprehensive risk picture. This is critical for procurement officers and CSO supply chain leads.
And the third use case is a perennial favorite across government: audit and compliance automation. This targets the immediate pain point of massive manual labor.
The pitch is simple: labor cost reduction and resource redeployment. Agencies face these onerous annual reporting requirements driven by mandates like the Federal Information Security Management Act, or FISMA, and the security controls defined by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST. Collecting evidence for these mandates is often a months-long, manual, soul-crushing exercise using endless spreadsheets and emails.
And Archer automates a lot of that evidence collection.
By automating that compliance churn, staff can move from manual reporting to higher-level strategic risk analysis. You're improving strategic decision-making by freeing up hundreds of analyst hours annually. This efficiency argument targets OIG liaisons and compliance directors who are accountable for these reports.
That thoroughly covers the products and capabilities. Now, let's define where the FAM should focus their finite energy. We need to move from products to the characteristics of the customer itself.
This is crucial for maximizing the return on the FAM's time. The source material defines three priority profiles of complex federal accounts that offer the highest potential for long-term growth and retention.
Okay, so Profile A is the complex multi-stakeholder agency. Define that for us in a bit more detail.
These are massive federal departments, think cabinet-level entities with highly federated structures. They have multiple sub-bureaus, often global operations, and they are subject to continuous high regulatory scrutiny. Their defining trait is organizational fragmentation and complexity.
But why are these complex giants the highest priority? I mean, simple agencies must be easier to land, right?
Simple agencies might be easier to land, but they're also easier to lose. Complexity necessitates robustness. Simple, low-cost tools fail immediately in these environments because they just cannot handle the sheer volume of assets, the divergent reporting structures, or the varying risk appetites across different sub-agencies. These complex accounts offer the highest revenue potential and, once implemented, the highest stickiness because the platform becomes deeply integrated across numerous divergent functions.
So the FAM's strategy here isn't primarily technical. It's more diplomatic and navigational.
Absolutely. The VIM has to collaborate cross-functionally to navigate and map the intricate relationships between the central CIO, the CIF, and especially the mission leaders within each sub-bureau. This requires a sophisticated approach to stakeholder mapping and political influence.
Next up is Profile B, the Operational Resilience Critical Agency. These are the agencies central to national security, critical infrastructure protection, finance, and healthcare delivery.
These agencies are fundamentally mission critical. They're often targets of nation-state threats, and they simply cannot tolerate downtime. If the Department of the Treasury's financial systems go down, the economy is paralyzed. If the systems managing veterans' health care fail, public welfare is compromised.
So for them, that business and IT impacts analysis is an absolute necessity.
It's not an upsell feature. For them, it's the core requirement. Their leadership needs quantifiable, real-time situational awareness during a crisis. The FAM strategy here focuses heavily on outcomes, showing how Archer visualizes converging threats against essential mission capabilities. It moves the conversation away from GRC features and into crisis management and national security.
And finally, Profile C, the modernization adopter. These are agencies actively undergoing digital transformation, massive cloud migration, or fundamental IT modernization efforts.
They're a priority because of timing. It's that simple. They're actively in a purchasing and replacement cycle. They are looking to retire legacy code and replace manual processes, the exact pain points Archer is designed to solve. When an agency is undergoing a large-scale cloud migration, they need a modern governance system to manage the new complexities and distributed risks inherent in the cloud environment.
And Archer's designation as a modern technology platform positions it perfectly as the low-risk, viable replacement for outdated, end-of-life GRC tools. They are ready to purchase now and view new software as a vital part of the transformation, not a drag on the budget.
It's all about contextual timing. So we've defined the products and the customer profiles. Now let's look at the human element. The FAM must influence a complex web of personas within these priority counts.
Right. This is where the strategy shifts from technical architecture to human diplomacy and communication style. We have three critical roles the FAM must engage and influence.
First, the senior decision maker, which is the executive sponsor. These are the CIO, CISO, CRO, and agency directors. They control the budget and the overarching strategy.
And they do not care about the number of security controls mapped or the software version number.
Correct. They care about strategic decision-making, measurable business outcomes, and most importantly, defensibility to Congress and the public. Therefore, the FAM must engage and influence senior executives by communicating complex solutions in business terms.
Can you give us an example of how the FAM translates a highly technical feature into an executive business outcome?
Sure. Instead of saying Archer provides centralized evidence repository functionality, the FAM says Archer will reduce your agency's annual FISMA reporting preparation time by 40%, freeing up your top analysts to focus on emerging zero-day threats, thus enhancing your operational security posture and providing a transparent audit trail for the OIG. The conversation avoids technical specifications and focuses squarely on ROI, quantified risk reduction, and operational resilience.
The second crucial persona is the operational contact, who is the champion. These are the GRC program managers, system administrators, and compliance officers, the people who live inside the platform every single day.
Their role is often underappreciated by external vendors, but their satisfaction dictates retention. It really does. Their customer satisfaction determines whether the contract is renewed or whether the solution becomes costly shelfware. If the users find the system clunky, slow, or unsupported, they will work around it using spreadsheets, rendering the entire $1 million investment useless.
So the FAM's action here requires heavy collaboration with the internal customer success team.
Absolutely. The FAM has to act as the operational contact's internal advocate. They need to ensure they receive high-quality training, sufficient support, and that their specific pain points are heard by the product roadmap team. If the operational users are successful, adoption is high, and the renewal becomes a simple administrative task rather than a painful renegotiation.
And finally, we have the procurement and contracting official, the gatekeeper. These are the contracting officers, or COCO, and the procurement specialist.
Even if the CIO is enthusiastic and the GRC team is fully on board, the deal cannot happen without the gatekeepers. They control the contract vehicle, the specific purchasing mechanism, the timeline, and all the pricing discussions. And they are bound by incredibly strict federal acquisition regulations.
This requires specialized knowledge from the FAM, doesn't it? Far beyond what a typical enterprise sales professional might need.
The FAM must have explicit experience with federal procurement, renewals, and contract management.
Yeah.
They need to proactively anticipate renewal dates, often 12 to 18 months in advance, and structure deals to align perfectly with the government fiscal cycles, which famously runs from October 1st to September 30th. Misalignment in contracting dates can kill an otherwise sure deal. The FAM has to manage the bureaucracy to secure the path forward.
That entire ecosystem of people has to be mapped and managed concurrently. It's a huge job. Okay, we've established the foundation, the products, the customers, and the key people. Now, let's wrap up by looking at the FAM's required day-to-day operational strategy, the framework for success.
The FAM role is far more strategic than traditional sales. It's really an advisory and internal mobilization role. They are responsible for executing comprehensive strategic account plans. This plan is the central artifact that codifies all their knowledge of the agency.
And the plan itself needs four key actionable components beyond just a simple org chart.
That's right. First, the retention strategy. And this isn't passive. It involves constantly monitoring account health indicators, measuring user adoption, and proactively addressing risks to renewal. If an account is struggling with implementation, the FAM is responsible for coordinating the rescue. This secures the base revenue.
Second, the expansion strategy. This has to be highly specific. It maps upsell and cross-sell opportunities directly to the specific agency modernization needs, such as correlating the need for supply chain transparency with the Archer third-party risk module.
Third, the relationship map. This goes way beyond names and titles. It identifies the complex interdependencies and key influencers within those complex multi-stakeholder agencies. Who influences the budget, even if they don't sign the contract? That relationship map has to be a living document, constantly updated.
And fourth, the value alignment document. This is perhaps the most critical for renewal. The FAM must continually document and communicate how Archer has contributed to the agency's long-term success, quantifying things like saved labor hours, mitigated risk dollars, or successful audit outcomes.
And crucially, the FAM cannot achieve any of this in isolation. The imperative of cross-functional collaboration is completely non-negotiable. It means working with internal partners relentlessly.
This is critical internal alignment for a seamless experience. They must partner with the customer success organization to ensure a seamless customer experience from onboarding through renewal. That's really the foundation for retention.
They also have to partner closely with the product team. The FAM serves as the voice of the customer via strategic account engagements and client advisory boards. This feedback loop is essential. Federal agencies have unique, specific compliance requirements, like handling PII or classifying data, that have to be reflected in Archer's product roadmap. The FAM ensures the future product aligns with the highly specific federal reality.
And finally, they need sophisticated sales operations expertise to navigate the federal procurement maze and structure those complex multi-year, multi-bureau deals correctly, anticipating every single bureaucratic hurdle.
All of this internal machinery supports the ultimate methodology, the consultative sales approach. The FAM must transition completely from being a transactional vendor to being an indispensable strategic advisor.
And building trusted consultative relationships means you're not just pitching features, you have to translate customer needs into business outcomes.
That requires deep technical acumen in cybersecurity, risk management, and the federal GRC landscape. If the FAM cannot speak the language of FISMA, NIST, and OMB Circular A123, they lose credibility instantly. They have to understand the agency's mission and internal pressures better than most of the staff.
And the ultimate goal is securing that long-term partnership growth. By acting as an indispensable strategic advisor, the FAM ensures that Archer is viewed not as a tool that can be replaced, but as an integral partner in achieving mission success and enhancing national operational resilience.
That brings us to the synthesis of this entire strategic analysis. The data confirms that the manual, silo, subjective approaches of the past are fundamentally broken. They're simply untenable in the face of converging, complex, and quantifiable threats.
The Archer mandate is clear. Federal agencies must retain and adopt integrated risk management solutions to achieve the operational resilience required to protect national security and public welfare. Fragmentation creates liability. Integration creates resilience.
The platform's ability to bridge technical data and quantified business impact is its defining strength. It empowers senior leaders with both qualitative and quantitative analysis, allowing them to make evidence-based decisions, justify resources to OMB, and prioritize actions based on measured mission risk, not just subjective color codes.
And for the new federal account manager, success is rooted in a disciplined focus on complex federal accounts, a relentless pursuit of customer satisfaction among the operational contacts, ensuring high adoption and strategically expanding into high-growth mandated domains like ESG and supply chain risk. It's a full-spectrum approach to maximizing value and minimizing government risk.
In a high-stakes environment where continuity of operations is paramount, here is the final provocative thought we want to leave you with, building on the analysis we've just completed. Given the quantified nature of risk that IRM now enables, what specific measurable national security liabilities are federal agencies accumulating right now by allowing fragmented risk data to remain siloed? And what specific cost to public trust will that fragmentation incur when the inevitable unquantified failure occurs?
If you can't quantify the risk in dollars and hours, you can't manage the mission. An excellent point to end on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.